This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's Friday, the 17th of June, 2022, 12:05 here in the studio. It's me, Rich Bradbury, with...
Arvind Yabraj.
We're going to be with you for about an hour or so today. And what are we talking about today, Arv?
So, as Malaysians, we pride ourselves on food, right?
Yes.
And it's rooted deeply with culture, traditions and belonging. But the question is, do we really know how our food ended up on our plates? So today, in conjunction with Sustainable Gastronomy Day 2022, we thought that we could learn how we can incorporate responsible and sustainable practices when it comes to food production and consumption, so we can still savor good food while doing good for the environment.
Okay, so tomorrow is the 18th of June, and guess what day it is? A bit of a clue, Arvin's just giving it away. Mm-hmm. Sustainable Gastronomy Day. Did you know that UNESCO recognizes Kuching as a creative city of gastronomy? It's one of the 49 new cities that were added to UNESCO's Creative Cities Network, UCCN, which was created in 2004 to promote creativity as a driving force for sustainable urban development. So, what is sustainable gastronomy?
Yeah, so it says that gastronomy is sometimes called the art of food, and it often refers to local natural food and cuisine. It mostly focuses on cultural expression related to natural and cultural food diversity. Sustainability is the idea that something, for example, like farming or agriculture, fishing, or even preparation of food, is done in a way that is not wasteful of our natural resources. And this way of farming, fishing, or preparing food can be continued into the future without being detrimental to our environment or health.
Mm-hmm.
So just merging the two, like sustainable gastronomy as a whole, means that cuisines that that consider where the ingredients are from, one, how the food is grown, and how it gets to our markets and eventually to our plates.
So it's ultimately about picking food that's both good for us and for the planet. Mm-hmm. And the key reason why this is important is because of climate change. Mm. Our food supply is threatened by climate change.
The thing that's just looming constantly.
You know, that we've been ignoring for the past 50 or 60 years.
That's definitely not going to bite us anytime soon.
No. You know, we're not seeing, you know, bits of icebergs fall off or flooding or nothing like that. Anyway.
No.
Topic Insight reported that the increased temperatures caused by climate change have influenced the agriculture and supply of high demand foods, coffee, chocolate, honey, avocados, bananas, and seafood. And the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, also released a report stating our soils cannot keep up with the current production rates. So if climate change is not controlled, these foods are at risk for extinction in the near future. We're going to have to say goodbye to coffee soon if we don't act now, and that will be disastrous.
For you?
For me.
Specifically,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I won't be able to function without coffee. You with your avocados, too.
As a millennial.
But we need to know that the food we produce contributes to climate change. You know, and according to a recent study, our global food production generates more than a third of man-made greenhouse gas emissions. As you can see, food production contributes to climate change. Climate change affects our food production, and it's a pretty vicious cycle.
Yeah, so the thing is, we waste billions of tons of food every year, right? That's fact. This is damaging to the environment because when we throw these food waste into landfills. Landfills produce a large amount of methane, a more powerful greenhouse gas than even carbon dioxide or CO2. We actually did a show on food waste last week. It's called Are You Contributing to Food Waste? You can find that podcast on the BFM app, BFM website, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcast from. Because of all these food waste and production that are damaging to the environment, it is kind of critical that we become more conscious of our dining habits, and sustainable gastronomy is one of the most excellent ways to rethink what we buy and eat, and it can make both ourselves and the planet healthier.
The whole food supply chain is important to look at when it comes to making gastronomy sustainable, and it can be divided into two major parts, food production and food consumption. Food production no doubt involves our local farmers. According to Dr. Julian Marachal, the head of School of Business at Le Cordon Bleu Australia, across the globe, farms cover over 50% of the land at the production level. This gives farmers a crucial role in preserving habitats and protecting soil health and water quality. Besides moving goods through different stages of the food value chain from the farm to the city centres and storing them requires energy and resources.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of obvious that production and distribution of food accounts for most of the environmental impact, in particular greenhouse gas emissions. That's why agriculture needs to start sustaining ecosystem health and focus on restoring the health of soils, such as reducing the intensive use of chemicals in modern agriculture. Fortunately, though, Malaysia is trying to change the farming landscape. The Agriculture and Food Industries Ministry, or MAFI, said that it will improve the existing agro-food policy to ensure a sustainable supply of food to the country, Minister Dato' Sri Ronald Kiandi said. The Agro-Food Policy 2.0 would focus on modernization of the agro-food sector and growth of the downstream industry in the next 10 years. And we will monitor closely on how that will come off.
Yeah. Chefs and food makers are also the key to a sustainable future of gastronomy and play a crucial role in reconnecting people with the environment, as they are the ones who source the ingredients, they prepare and they cook our food. 25 years ago, most chefs wrote menus according to what they'd like to cook and what they knew guests would like to eat. Now, few people considered the seasonality of items or the consequences of importing ingredients from across the globe. Now, of course, that's different. The landscape within the restaurant industry has changed dramatically, with people growing more conscious of where their food comes from. The number one thing that can be done to make a restaurant more sustainable is to keep the menu seasonal. And Malaysia has a positive performance in this aspect. The concept of farm to table or farm to fork is a social movement that's on the rise in KL's dining scene. Hmm. A Little Farm on the Hill offers a unique farm to table experience in its organic farm. Gourmet meals are made using fresh seasonal produce that are grown on the site. And its founder, Pete Dio, will be on the line with us a little later to talk more about sustainable gastronomy.
Another shameless plug. I think we've done interviews with all of them.
So
you can look up all the podcasts. Yeah. In the city, restaurants like Sitka and Dewakan have been championing this sustainable concept for a few years now. There is a prevalent use of local ingredients and homegrown produce over imported ones, and it is the greatest expression of our Malaysian cultural diversity. Beyond chefs, food critics and guides are also influencing both positive change on environmental impact. Michelin introduced Michelin Green Star in 2020, so a couple of years ago, and it is looking for restaurants that hold strong commitment to sustainable gastronomy. These restaurants must hold themselves accountable for their ethical and environmental standards, work with sustainable producers and suppliers to avoid waste and reduce or even remove plastic and other non-recyclable materials from their supply chain. These restaurants also offer dining experiences that combine culinary excellence with outstanding eco-friendly commitments. It was last recorded in February that of this year, by the way, that 31 restaurants globally have gained this Michelin Green Star so far.
So what about you and me then, Arv? As end consumers, you know, what can we do to help make food more sustainable? What we buy makes a statement, of course, so vote with your wallet and your fork. There's no better way to affect the direction of our food system than to influence the bottom line of what grocers, restaurants and food companies produce and sell. Show support through your buying decisions.
Mm-hmm. And another thing is rethink your grocery list. Buy more minimally processed foods and more plant-based meals. These choices often require less packaging, waste, energy and water to produce them. And also shop locally. I think that's a big one. Mm. So shopping locally is a fun way to support our community. It also keeps your dollars or ringgits in the community you live. When you purchase foods that were grown locally, it cuts down the amount of fuel needed to ship the food to your market.
Yeah, we've only covered the surface there of sustainable gastronomy, but we do have experts on the line with us a little bit later on to discuss. Pete Teo, the co-founder of A Little Farm on the Hill, and Karen Shepherd, strategic director at Kuching UCCN, will join our conversation right after these messages. We're going to take a short break. We've got some music from The Miracles. You've really got a hold on me here on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites, folks. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Braj.
If you want to get in touch with the show, don't forget 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp. How can we achieve food sustainability together? Arv, give them the blurb.
So we're talking about sustainable gastronomy, and it's in conjunction with Sustainable Gastronomy Day 2022, and we're learning how we can incorporate responsible and sustainable practices when it comes to food production and consumption.
Wow, you're so prepared. It was ready then.
It's like lightning speed.
Wonderful. If you want to get in touch with us via Twitter, get us at BFM Radio, of course. Now, obviously, we are not experts, as both myself and Arvin have just proven there, on a sustainable gastronomy, but we have a couple of people who are. We have Pete Teo, he's the co-founder of A Little Farm on the Hill, and Karen Shepherd, strategic director at Kuching UCCN. So let's start off with you, Pete. What's the main difference between sustainable gastronomy and unsustainable food systems that are currently in practice? Can you share some examples?
Well, to put it simply, the main difference between the two is that while the conventional food system currently in practice produces and consumes food that is unsustainably procured, whereas a practitioner of sustainable gastronomy would seek to produce and consume food that is procured sustainably. Now, that is, of course, a vast, vast simplification because issues pertaining to sustainable gastronomy can range from wellness to health to environmental protection and even animal welfare. Either way, a good example of a practitioner of sustainable gastronomy would be a restaurant that sources from an organic farm rather than a conventional one. For reasons that conventional agriculture accounts for up to 30% of the greenhouse gases emitted into the atmosphere and is therefore, by definition, unsustainable. This restaurant might also put emphasis on sourcing locally, for example, rather than from imports, in order to reduce the carbon footprint of the ingredients that it uses. Issues such as reducing the use of plastics in food preparation or minimizing food waste in the kitchen are also things that such a restaurant would be concerned with. By contrast, all this, of course, would not be issues in a conventional restaurant working entirely within the confines of a conventional food supply chain.
Karen, same question for you. What is the main difference between sustainable gastronomy and unsustainable food systems that are currently in practice?
Well, sustainable gastronomy is really one of this century's key trends. It's all about maximizing our food resources and making sure that our food practices do not deplete either the environment or the society that they depend on. Globalization of food has been an incredible idea. It's provided us with choice and unprecedented plenty for so many countries around the world. Most of us, especially here in Malaysia, can now eat what we want, when we want. But equally, this can also mean air flying food around the world from countries which can provide ingredients out of season with massive environmental impact. We are getting very used to having what we want whenever we want. This means more intensive farming methods to produce more food out of the same land. Now we are seeing huge areas of Amazon rainforest, for example, being cut down to graze cattle. Cheap mass-produced foods are pushing our heritage food producers out of the market in some cases. And plastic bags and polystyrene containers, they might be convenient, but they're also an environmental disaster. So it now becomes up to us to make better food choices so we can better support our local food chain and our natural environment so that it will last into the next generation.
Mm-hmm. So, Pete, switching over to you, can sustainable gastronomy combat food waste effectively, you think?
Well, only insofar as every little bit helps in an effort to create a sustainable food system. I think it's really, really important to understand that food waste does not happen only in the kitchen or on your table. In a conventional vegetable supply system, for instance, most of the waste actually happens on the farms themselves. It has been estimated that up to 30% of the production grown in vegetable farms are actually thrown away simply because they have small cosmetic imperfections or because they don't meet the size criteria specified by distributors and retailers. Now, these vegetables are perfectly edible and nutritious, but they are wasted either because the consumer prefer their vegetable to be completely without blemish or because they don't fit into the carton boxes that they are transported in from the farm to the market. So while restaurants can do what they can to reduce food waste in their operations, food waste occurring further up the supply chain, like what I've just described, is not something that restaurants can solve. It is ultimately down to consumer behavior, and therefore all of us as consumers would have our parts to play.
Mm-hmm. And Karen, how about you? Like, do you think sustainable gastronomy can combat food waste effectively?
Tackling food waste is one important aspect of sustainable gastronomy. If we can persuade Malaysians to adopt more sustainable practices in food, then we should be able to reduce the waste in the world. Sustainability is often at its heart about a change in mindset. If we are focused on making positive choices in our food, then this will often translate into a better awareness of necessity and waste. If we buy most of our food daily, it is fresher, and we also tend to use just what we need. When we consider recycling our food waste, then perhaps we will become more aware of just how much we create. So awareness is really the key to cutting food waste.
Okay, how does this practice link with food security? Karen, let's start with you this time.
Food security has become a big issue in Malaysia, especially since the pandemic. With a more urban population, we're starting to see real food security issues, especially amongst the most disadvantaged in society. Sustainable communities will become key going forward. We need to ensure that we have systems to provide healthy and affordable food for the lowest income groups in Malaysia. One of the best ways to do this is to support our local farmers and food producers so that we can always be sure we are producing enough to feed our own population. It's amazing to me that Malaysia is in fact a net importer of rice, our most important staple. Yet, especially here in Sarawak, we have some of the healthiest and tastiest rice in the world. So we really should be looking to how we can feed our own population from our own efforts. And in the end, this becomes a more sustainable model, both socially and environmentally.
Pete, your thoughts on this? How does the practice does this practice link to food security?
That's a really good question. In many ways, the attainment of food security on the one hand and the attainment of sustainable food production on the other stand in opposition to each other. For instance, attaining food security requires us to convert ever more forests to farmland, but the need to develop sustainable food production requires us to leave the forest alone. Ultimately, the resolution between these two conflicting forces pivot around the issue of land use. Put simply, if we were to continue with our current agricultural practices, with its dependency on massive and inefficient use of land, there will soon be not enough land on earth to produce enough food to feed the world. We must therefore change the way we produce food. In other words, the challenge is to reduce land use for food production and return land to the natural world and yet make enough food to feed the world. We don't know how to do this in every aspect of the food production system currently, but we do possess technology that allow us to develop partial solutions. For instance, the use of hydroponic technology let us create vertical indoor vegetable farms, in other words, multi-story vegetable farms. This allows us the opportunity to apply vertical space for food production and therefore reduce the horizontal footprint of our farms, minimizing their land use. Moving forward, the issue of food security can only be solved with a rethink on how we produce food at an industrial scale. We have the technology to do it. We will develop more technology to do it. But whether we have the political will to do it is an entirely different matter.
Tomorrow is the 18th of June, of course, and it is Sustainable Gastronomy Day. And did you know that UNESCO recognises Kuching as a creative city of gastronomy? I didn't until today. But that's what we're talking about. We are looking at ways we can achieve food sustainability together. We've got a couple of experts who we're hearing from right now. Pete Teo, the co-founder of A Little Farm on the Hill, and Karen Shepherd, the strategic director at Kuching UCCN. We're going to take a short break here. If you do have any questions regarding this topic, topic, get us via WhatsApp 01878988899 and Twitter or at BFM Radio. A short break from me and Arv with Suede and New Generation. We'll be back right after these messages on Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Burgers from Mamas, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Well, that caught me off guard. Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj.
Arvind, what are we talking about today?
So we are talking about, in conjunction with Sustainable Gastronomy Day 2022, we're learning about how we can incorporate responsible and sustainable practices when it comes to food production and consumption.
But we only covered the surface of sustainable gastronomy. We do have a couple of experts on the line with us to help us discuss through this. We've already heard from them. We're going to hear a little bit more from them right now. Pete Teo, the co-founder of A Little Farm on the Hill, and Karen Shepherd, strategic director at Kuching UCCN. Now, so Pete, are enough restaurants practicing sustainability in Malaysia, even from the most fundamental step of ingredient sourcing? And if not, why?
Well, the short answer to that is no. While there are increasing numbers of restaurants that take sustainability issues seriously in Malaysia, they remain in the vast minority of those who address sustainability issues in their operations. Most are independent, fine dining or semi-fine dining, chef-led restaurants. Now, the reason for this is simply economics. Adopting sustainable practices increases the cost and complexity of your restaurant operations. Even if we were to limit our example to merely ingredient sourcing, there is a scarcity of sustainable global growers and suppliers, let alone local ones. And on top of that, sustainable ingredients cost a lot more than conventionally produced ingredients. This means restaurants serving the higher end of the market are better able to absorb the cost of working with such ingredients. For the moment, these therefore tend to be independent fine dining or semi-fine dining restaurants led by owners or chefs who are believers in the greater sustainability issue. For example, I know that Chef Darren of Dewakan has made extraordinary efforts to build a restaurant that principally uses local sustainable ingredients. There are others, of course, Tyson G of Atas at the Ruma Hotel, Chef Gary of Amber, Chef James Huan of the soon-to-be-opened Shin Labo, Chef Aiden Low of Akar, the restaurant, the wonderful restaurant Jen Gun, I think in Chinese, in Penang, Chef Jun Wong of the Yellowfin Horse. Now, all of these people adopt partial or full sustainability practice in their ingredient sourcing. In fact, I just spoke to one just last week who is seriously considering going 100% locally sourced for his restaurant. Now, I can tell you that that is one of the most difficult and bravest things to try to do as a restaurant right now. I hope he succeeds, but I also know that it won't be easy.
Karen, can we get your thoughts on this then, please? Are enough restaurants practicing sustainability in Malaysia, even from the most fundamental step of ingredient sourcing?
As with all countries, Malaysia has a wide range of restaurants, some of which are more sustainable than others. To be honest, most restaurants could benefit from more focus on sustainable options, and this starts perhaps with ingredient sourcing. To me, the biggest issue in Malaysia is the single-use plastic, and this is an area restaurants can make a big impact. In Kuching, for example, the local councils are banning the use of straws and polystyrene containers in their markets and hawker centres. Cebu Council has implemented this ban for some years, and it is simple changes like this which will make a difference, and these can then roll out throughout the entire restaurant industry.
So I think this question is the question on everyone's mind. Are Malaysian consumers reluctant to embark on this sustainable journey because restaurants that practice sustainability are usually more expensive? Because usually a vegan or vegetarian restaurant would charge at least 20 ringgit a meal, which we don't know how feasible that is. So, Pete, can we get your thoughts?
Yeah. Again, the issue here is economics. Sustainably sourced ingredients, be they protein or plant, cost substantially more to produce and consume. And this is true the world over, you know, and not unique to Malaysia. It is not an accident that countries with high adoption of sustainable practices tend to be higher income countries. And even then, adoption in their lower income demographics tend to lag behind higher income groups. And here we arrive, I guess, at the crux of the food security versus sustainability conflict that we talked about earlier. That for sustainable food system to be mainstream, we need to develop technologies and processes that allow us to produce food sustainably and at mass volume. This will take a while, though, you know, for this thing to go mass, but hopefully not for too long.
And Karen, what do you think? Is this lifestyle too expensive?
Sustainability does not have to be an expensive option. On one level, it can be as simple as locally sourced, seasonally available ingredients, which are often more affordable. Our wet markets are amazing, and there is so much affordable fresh produce available. It is true, however, that fresh produce is often more expensive in an urban environment because it is perishable. Vegan and vegetarian options are rarer and therefore charged at a premium. In fact, I don't actually believe that Malaysian consumers are reluctant to be more sustainable, but some have little choice. After all, they have to feed their families. And this is why the whole industry must work together to provide better choices.
Okay, let's have a chat about, you know, the pathway to achieving sustainable gastronomy. Do you think Malaysia's pathway is easier compared to any other countries? Pete?
It certainly isn't easier here than anywhere else. The adoption of sustainable gastronomy is ultimately a systemic issue, right? Affected by elements in the entire supply chain. So in this way, there's a lot more that can be done in Malaysia to promote it, especially in public policy. As it stands, it is largely left up to private individuals to support or adopt sustainable initiatives. And these vary from consumers to independent business owners and corporate managers. The good news is that we have seen in the last few years a huge increase in the number of businesses who have either adopted sustainability as one of the central pillars of their operations or are in fact interested to do so. Likewise, the number of consumers supporting sustainable gastronomy is rising rapidly. So hopefully this trend will continue.
Karen, what do you think about this?
In many ways, I believe it is easier to achieve sustainable gastronomy in Malaysia. Malaysians haven't quite yet adopted the bulk buying mentality of other countries. In my experience, many Malaysians still shop daily so that they can have fresh foods. As a result, there is less waste. We also have an incredible model in our street food. This allows lower capital entrants to the market who focus on one single product to the best of their abilities, often local dishes made with local ingredients. So this translates also into lower waste. In many cases, these are also more traditional foods, more Malaysian, if you like. So this helps with preservation of our unique food culture and communities. What we need to do now is support our farmers by providing them with a sustainable income through more sustainable choices.
Mm-hmm. So last question, Karen, we'll go with you first. To create a sustainable future for gastronomy, who do you think plays the most important part in making that change? Is it the consumers, the chefs, or the farmers?
Sustainability will only ever work if it is applied throughout the food chain. Consumers, of course, play an important part in creating the commercial pressure for more sustainable food practices. If we want more sustainable food, then our providers are more likely to head in that direction. But it needs to be throughout the chain, from earth to table, as it's often said. Kuching has recently designated as the first creative city of gastronomy under UNESCO in Malaysia. This international network is aimed at achieving the UN Sustainable Development Goals through boosting the creative economy. And in Kuching's case, this is in gastronomy. This program has to involve a full range of stakeholders in the city and indeed the state. We are therefore looking at all levels of the food chain, from our agripreneurs and farmers through our food producers, manufacturing and marketing. Collaboration is at the heart of this network between government, civil society and private entities. Working together is considered essential, both with domestic stakeholders and across this international network. And it is this attitude that is really at the heart of sustainability.
And Pete, how about you? Like, who's the most important player here?
Well, the truth is everybody in the entire food system, from consumers to producers, play an important part in the development of sustainable gastronomy. But insofar as a consumer choice ultimately determines producer behavior, then I think the consumer is the most important.
Me and you, Arv.
Mm-hmm. You and me.
Learned a lot today. Not about you.
Yeah. Especially mainly about the practices and the number of names locally that are practicing sustainable gastronomy, right? I think I was a bit surprised at how many there are, because it's out of my awareness, my immediate awareness, but it's interesting to see how many people are adopting that lifestyle, especially in business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, it's time for us to wrap up, but I hope you learned something from today's show as well. And if you want to listen back to anything throughout this show, don't forget you can listen back a little bit later on via the podcast. We recommend you use the app. It's on the Apple App Store and Google Play, and it's had a big, shiny facelift recently. Mm-hmm. And if you do have any feedback regarding that facelift, by the way, please do let us know at feedback@bfm.my. Now, if you want to stick around, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay with Sandy Tan, the CEO of Optimax Holdings. Nearly 2 years after their debut in the ACE market, eye specialist provider Optimax Holdings now plans to transfer its listing status to the main market by the end of the year. According to the company, this comes off the back of steady growth and a solid financial position. The CEO, Sandy Tan, took to the hot seat this morning to talk about her plans after getting on the main market. That's all the time we have for today. We're going to take us out of the show with a bit of Pink Floyd and Another Brick in the Wall. We'll be right back on Monday for more Enterprise Biz Bites. Same time, same place here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.